to committee and board minutes with recommendations for approval. 17.1, the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee minutes of the October 13th, 2022 meeting, and the draft minutes of the November 10th, 2022 meeting. Resolution 22-511, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Kekkonen. The result of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes from the October 13th, 2022 meeting and the draft minutes of the November 10th, 2022 meeting of the Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Have the Parry Sound District Social Services Administration Board minutes of the October 13th, 2022 meeting. Have Resolution 22-512, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes from the October 13th, 2022 meeting of the Parry Sound District Social Services Administration Board meeting. Discussion? Should maybe talk to our representative on that board as well, because that's quite a letter attached from Ms. Ramsey about the development. And again, depending on who is going to be the future members representing us on the DSAD, maybe we should need some more feedback. That may be Councillor Haskam. I'm not sure yet. We haven't heard anything back from the other townships. So should it not be Councillor Haskam, maybe that's something we can consider going forward, that there be presentations made from our representatives on a regular basis. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have staff reports with recommendations for approval. Greg's been waiting a long time for this. Greg Gostick, Director of Operations, Public Works, updates, just a verbal. And we gave him quite a list here, so I'll certainly leave it to you to decide on what should go forward to the Roads Committee meeting and what we can deal with tonight. So we'll just go through the checklist.
Sure. So, like the...
Michael, oh. Good.
Can you hear me?
Just so the Zoom can hear you. But.
Oh, they could hear me. Yeah, so there's always this concern about the 50-kilometer head zone in McKellar. It's still going ahead. It's still with MTO. They're going to include the no parking along the highway in their same. So you know how that is. It just takes longer instead of just having one item, they now have to deal with two. So
I'm just wondering again. I don't know how much you talked to them about it, but if they move the 50 further down, or if Tate's Island 50 ahead, and do the 50 zone partway up the hill, that would help certainly with the Firebird 152. And why would they need the no parking then? Because people obeying the law would be going 50 from the top of the hill in.
Maybe. I'll give you his number. You can talk to him. So right now the suggestion is putting the 50 this side of 152.
This side?
This side. Right at the lake.
You can't move it any further down?
No, I can ask him.
I think it would make more sense because the one in the north is quite a ways out, and I know people complain about that, but it just makes more sense because 152 is a very dangerous intersection as well. And it'd be nice if they had 50 ahead down around the marina or Tate's Island, and then whatever distance they need, and then 50 zone beginning partway up that hill. It just makes it's common sense, but...
Yeah.
I don't know who you're talking to, but...
I could ask and see how far we will stretch it. Right now, the request is in for late, so we can request it somewhere maybe the far end of Spring Hill.
That sounds good. You can stretch that request.
Yeah. We can try that. So, there's a few questions here, but... I think the upgrades for the 152 in Deerfield moving forward, I would like to see us continue with this program, Deerfield being next year. And with council's approval, I would like to get started on rock removal this winter. So we kind of, everybody's under the crunch, but, you know, get things going. So in January, I'm hoping to have a roads committee meeting in January, and we can further discuss this a little more in depth, because there's some funding, things that has to be cleaned up. So there's lots to talk about in January.
Has anything been done with the fees and charges bylaw for that too? Because
that's what I mean, that has to be cleaned up.
I would think before we even start any work, because I think the people on the Deerfield and Bay should know, you know, what they're responsible for as far as costs.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, that's what we have to get going, because I would like to, you know, whether January we start working or March, but I'd like to do winter work there if possible. Yeah.
So we'll leave that in Roshan's hands for the fees and charges by law.
I'm well aware of it, but that, again, that will probably come into effect a little closer into January.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's some question about this potable water situation here. It's not impossible to do. It's just with the amount of staff we have to do the upkeep on the water system, instead of testing once every month or whatever we have now, we have to do it 3 times a week for public water. So that's not just a small task, because you can't forget to test the water. You know, you can't get busy, so you have to have somebody dedicated to testing the water. Whether it be the environmental committee or it's a staff member. Just throwing that out there. So it's not impossible. It's just we don't have the staff right now.
Is there any particular time of the day when it has to be tested? Could it be at the beginning of your work day and somebody that's part of the job description?
It could be, but I can't guarantee myself, say, to do this, because, well, I'm all over the map. I can't guarantee myself to be able to test something like this, you know.
But I know Scotty does things on a regular basis with the flooding of the rink, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something? I'm not even sure if he's full-time, so.
So we'd have to train him.
Right.
So we'd have to send them away to be trained, or a staff member to be trained to test water. Mm-hmm. So that's a little in-depth. But it's not impossible.
Well, I know you researched this before, and you put in a cost, and where would it be located?
Yeah,
it's
not outrageous. It's nothing's out of touch. It's just, do we have the staff members?
Well, that's something we'd have to look at. Sir.
Yeah.
How it could be done.
How can we do it?
Do we know how Whitestone does it?
That's how.
Or McDougall?
McDougall's town water.
Right. So Whitestone, do they have a staff member?
3 days a week. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I could ask them, get a little more information from Whitestone, maybe, and just see how exactly they're doing it. Maybe they have a couple of weeks.
I think that we should look at other options, not just at the community center. That's water that's drawn from the lake out here. I think that if we look at other options, such as we had deep drilled wells installed for the public works yard and fire hall number one, so that if we look at those as options for locations of potable drinking water as well in this part of this discussion. And I was just wondering about the moving of the speed limit signs, if it would help if you had a council resolution that council is in support and directing the public works superintendent to have this discussion with the MTO member.
You mean to further stretch it on towards Spring Hill?
Yes.
Sure.
Why not? I mean, all the help I can get is, you know, helps. Because MTL has gone through kind of like what we've done in the last 4 years, a huge staff turnover. So people that I dealt with at the beginning of all this are no longer available, new people. So is you're treading water, waiting for new people to get caught up to what's happening. So this, working with MTO for the past 3 or 4 years has just been crazy. I'm still waiting on a light to be installed at the boundary, still to this day. You know, the first 3 years of that was because of staff turnover in MTO. So, I mean, things dealing with MTO just take some time. And I hope people can, you know, understand. It's out of our hands. We can send all the letters we want, but who are we talking to?
Well, that's the thing, and I went through it with the OPP when we did the parades for the fair.
Right.
And the thing that bothered me most was the inconsistency from one township to the next. And for instance, in Whitestone, they didn't need any signage saying that there's a parade up here, that the traffic's going to be held up for 10, 15 minutes. Here, we needed everything lit up. And again, maybe because of location. So I thought they would be on site if we moved that down further. And but it's a matter of, you know, persisting and who you talk to, you're right. And I think the resolution would be a good idea to help you.
Oh, sure. I don't disagree with that at all. Send it to me. There's a few other things we talked about on here, but I think in January we can sit down and discuss it in detail rather than sit here and find out.
Okay, just the one thing that came to mind as I traveled around too with the speed limits in different areas, residential areas. And I noticed a lot of signs in the drove around too in the subdivisions, you know, slow down and the children playing and that's. Were those erected by the township? Those huge red signs? Or
By me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at most of them. They're 50 kilometers, I guess, the bigger subdivisions.
With 50, you said? Yeah. Also, there's only a few roads in our township that's 40.
I noticed Brownlee was 40. In the
well, you got the center road here in the village is 40, you know. There's a few extras. Over on Herdville Road is 40. So, like, between the, over by the bridge. I see your question of signs, but you know, two extra signs here or there, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know, to maybe put extra speed limit signs up. Because I noticed coming into the village, just for instance, it's 40, but it's 40 from Balsam Road. Mm-hmm. People don't pay attention to that first 40. It's the second 40 right at the village. That's when people slow down. So maybe a few extra signs here and there won't hurt, you know, moving forward, especially for some of the trouble areas.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I know there has to be a bylaw passed, and if you change the speed. I'm wondering, because I remember in the past, there was some question about how low you could put it. I noticed a lot of the subdivisions, they throw about 20-kilometer signs, which are probably illegal, and they really can't be enforced. But what do you think of 30 kilometers in certain built-up areas? And again, I know it's a problem of enforcement.
Yeah, it is enforcement. We do have a radar guy. We do have a bylaw officer.
Well, right now, he's not authorized.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Put that out there.
Okay.
If you want to go there, we can go there and start having some of these speeds enforced.
Well, I wonder because, as I've talked to people, too, even along the provincial highway, the 50 kilometers through the village is not observed, and it's not patrolled by the OPP on a regular basis.
Not at all.
So what hope do we have within our township roads that the OPP will be in there enforcing a speed limit?
Speed limit, not so much. Sure, you're going to get a ride program here and there, but a speed limit trap, very seldom, unless we request it. That's the only time I've ever seen them out there doing a speed trap.
Yeah.
I mean, we can request it all we want, but it doesn't say they're going to be there.
Yeah.
But no, signs are all right. A lot of people don't pay attention to signs. They're just going to let. I know Stewart Park down there, through that area, it's the longest stretch on Center Road, and they're requested, you know, maybe a speed reduction through there. Well, really, it's a longer stretch on Center Road, and to put those signs up, I don't know if it would do any good. So there's certain areas where the signs, extra signs, will work, and certain areas where extra, putting signs up may have an opposite effect.
Yeah, well, what it was pointed out to me as well, though, even though it might not have much effect, at least it's something that's enforceable.
It is.
So that if you have a posted limit and they are exceeding, then they can't be charged.
They can be.
Yeah.
Whether, yeah.
I know.
What do you do?
what was the other thing I was wondering about here? Oh, the one thing that came up, it's come up a number of times, and I'm just looking at the logistics here, and I realize the plow is up and down the road. The snow is quite heavy, but the request has come up for the sidewalks, and I realize they're MTO property, and we have the liability. We tried to keep the sidewalks through the village clear. What do you think of the idea of... we do have a blower, I know, but...
I wouldn't want to do it with a blower, but we should talk to our insurance company, really. So that is the largest liability of any municipality is sidewalks. I mean, we have paved shoulders in the village. On the other hand, where a lot of municipalities, including, say, Dunchurch, they don't have that paved shoulder up this, you know, once you get past that community center. We're here, we're fortunate, we have it all the way through the village.
We had to fight for it.
We had to fight for it, there you go. But it worked.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, we should talk to insurance. Is it really, it's a kilometer of road and you're probably going to pay for the nose, but how much is it worth? Is it worthwhile? It's maybe something we should look into. Is it out of the question? No, I mean, if everything works out, again, we're almost on maintaining private property there. How much are we going to be fighting with MTO with our snow versus their snow? Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to say we can't push towards the highway? So now we're pushing in everybody's front yards. Just going to be things that are going to come up with MTO.
No, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
But, we need to hear the pros and cons. So.
Yeah. I have nothing against it, except for the liability that I'm sure we're going to run into, because there's a lot of people watch that sidewalk. Maybe some people don't have the proper footwear on, but lawyers and judges don't look at that. Showing that out there.
Councilor Zulak, without a mic. Go ahead.
Oh, there you go.
I just noticed, Greg, that you have on here the Broadbent area four corners, the three-way stop.
Well, Greg didn't put those on, I did. So.
You did? Okay. Well, I'm glad anyways, because when I was out and about, there was a lot of concern with that four corners there at Broadbent. Has there ever been any thought into reconfiguring the road when you're coming to that? Because when you're coming from Blackwater...
If, so if we put a stop sign up at the end of Birdover, that would solve all our problems. There would be no configuration. If you have people stopped going towards Broadbent right there, that just solves everybody's problems for you. Just one sign.
Because when you're coming from Blackwater, it's hard to...
Yeah, that's right. So if you get those people stopped, but if these people are stopped, and you mean looking up towards the other end there, eh?
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough room there. We try to keep those bushes clean back, but they grew in so fast. I think if we stop those people from on this side, because then the Blackwater people can pull out and at least look, without worrying about somebody coming this way and taking them out. So if we have these people stop coming from Birdville, send them over there.
One more.
So just one more question. Olson Road and Center Road, the stop sign there, nobody ever stops. Is there any you can do something that people coming... into the village?
On Center Road.
On Center Road, they fly through there. And I've almost had a couple And they just, they go through and then they, and then they look at you like, oh, I didn't see it.
Like something's going to smash.
Maybe bigger means better. So a bigger sign with a red light. I don't know how the little house there would work. I don't know if houses would like a red light at all. But a bigger sign.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's...
I know. I've seen them do. They just... I've seen them do it at Center Road and 124.
Yeah.
40, 50 kilometers an hour, and they just keep on going. So, I mean... And that's a local person I've seen. No. But there's a lot of things here we're going to have to probably go over. You know, I'm not against any of it, but there's a lot of discussion that needs to take place.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, your time tonight, and just to get an update, I guess, for some of us new to this, and how how things work in the roads department and the
Merchant
Street. So.
Oh, yeah.
Not paid enough. But January meeting sounds good. If we can organize something in the meantime. I guess one other quick question, though.
Sure.
Clarify with our contract, we're still in that situation, right, for certain unassumed municipal roads. We have a contractor going out and plowing those.
We have a contractor. So some of these roads are going to find a little bit different this year because our operator that we had the past 3 or 4 years no longer works there. So people are going to find a big difference in their plowing. I'm on my third operator already, and we haven't had hardly any snow. So I'm trying to get this situated. Hopefully we get a good operator before it actually winter hits. This is the last year for this contract.
Assuming that we... Soon. Look at your next resolution.
Wherever that is.
It's coming up.
Yeah. So as soon as we get that truck and all that is taken care of. You know, we've got to get through this winter. It might be a long winter, but if I have to, I'll just, you know what, we'll do it ourselves. But we have a contract. So.
And I just wonder about that contract. I haven't seen it. So it talks about sanding as well as plowing?
Yeah. Yes.
And at what level? Because that was a concern we heard throughout the township too, the sanding of the roads. And so I think the request here is that the sanding increase, if possible. I don't know. People are concerned, I guess, just about spot sanding.
Spot sanding works good, but people would have to learn to slow down.
Well, I agree, but if they don't...
Well, we cannot put enough sand on the roads for people to do 80 kilometers an hour on Herdville Road. We can't. It's wintertime. They have to slow down. The people that were on that road a week ago, three different spots, they went in the ditch. It was all speed. You can see it was speed. They have to slow down. It's wintertime. You know, we put corner signs up and everything. Maybe that'll help. But they got to remember to slow down. But sanding, we sand every time we plow. Sometimes Herdville Road gets sanded 3 times every time we plow. People don't believe it, but it gets sanded 3 times. The corners get sanded 3 times. The main road gets sanded at least once, possibly twice. So that's a lot of sand in one.
I agree. I'm just saying if we have to increase our sanding budget, I don't know because the concerns are there, as you say, the speeding, et cetera. But just make sure that we're covering our end of it.
Yeah, no, we do it. Yeah. But we don't maintain Center Bear roads. We're snowpack roads.
Yeah.
A big difference. You know, if we had hot mix asphalt roads from all the way around from Center Road to Herdville Road.
Is this your wish list now?
Yeah, you've seen it there. That would be that's not an issue. We can keep it centered there. Mm-hmm. But when you have high flow roads, which we do, we cannot keep that centered there. We'll just be throwing money away.
Yeah.
You put extra out in the wintertime trying to keep it there. You can put salt on that stuff. But you just decrease the 10-year life expectancy down to 2. That's a lot of money for 2 years. Yeah. So it's not just a matter of putting sand out and making everything nice. I got to remember what's underneath that. And we have to look after that too. But, you know, it's a really a fine balancing act is what we have to do with these roads. You know. But speed is what's the problem so far this I've seen this fall. Yeah. And cell phones.
You have another one?
So, Greg, don't you have GPS on the trucks that tell you how many times you've gone that area?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yep. So you have proof that you have been out there. Yeah.
You can look at that thing every morning when I pull in the yard. It shows when I would show up in the yard, which is 3 o'clock every morning. Let you know.
No, we won't be there. Well, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. See you later.
Oh, not yet. Can we stay here for the...
Well, you might talk about it. I don't worry too much. We have resolution 22-513 moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of Corporation Township McKellar is hereby direct staff to inquire with MTO, moving the 50-kilometer ahead sign from the current location at Manitowabing Lake west to the area of McKellar Marine and or Spring Hill Road, and the 50-kilometer sign from the McKellar sign at Minerva Park to the west side of Fire Route 152. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution. We have the PW 2022-10 tender award medium duty truck plow and harness for discussion. And I don't know whether you wanted to speak to that or is that the one that he's asking for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So this is the truck that will look after our small roads that we're slowly taking over. It's a heavier duty truck than our 550, so the one we currently have. But 550 is a great little truck, but it's not meant to plow this many kilometers of road every day, day in and day out. So a heavier duty truck is required to do this. This truck that I propose to buy has a four-season box similar to the 550 that we currently have, so it's not a full-size truck. So we'll be able to use it in the summer for coal patching and whatnot, as well as gravel hauling we need to, or whatever. It'll be a four-seasons truck, and it'll the $70,000 a year we're putting out on snow plowing for small roads, I can put it towards this truck. We have something for ourselves moving forward. Because, you know, we take the more roads we take on, the more consequences, the more equipment we've got to have.
Now, the question with this, too, I guess, is the operation. What kind of a license do you need to...
It'll be a D license.
A D license.
Yeah.
Whereas the 550 was...
G.
A G.
Until you put a load on. You can go over with the load.
So would you anticipate with the staff we have, or are you looking at increased staff?
Increased staff.
Okay.
So, so what I would like to do is, because of holidays, our current staff holidays, and winter, we can pretty well guarantee a person a full-time job year-round with this piece of equipment. And right now, we have so many hours in the bank for holidays that we haven't been able to take. I mean, I don't know how many hours I have, but it's just huge. So I got to be fair to our guys and allow them to take a day or a week or so off in the summer. But none of us right now, we haven't had a summer holiday yet. So stuff like that. We got to start looking, you know, because our guys are hard to replace, as you know, even with this loss in contract. I'm on my third guy, and it's only been, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
good guys are hard to come by, so, or good people, workers, whatever, they're hard to come by. So I have to look after the ones we have. So buying this piece of equipment and a decent piece of equipment and getting a decent operator to go with it, I think it'll benefit everybody.
Councilor Ryan?
What's the expected lifespan of the new truck?
So he, 15 years is what they're saying. So increased over our tandems. Our tandems life expectancy now is only 10. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to be 20-year trucks. But this single axle, the dealer figures 15. Without any question, you might get 20 out of this truck. So it'll be that good of a truck.
Okay. Thank you.
The other question is, since it's a bit bigger, and some of these roads are rather narrow, and with trees coming down over some of the unassumed roads, can this truck fit through and still do a decent job, or would we be pulling them out of the ditch?
Well, you might be pulling them out of the ditch anyways, but no. So, with the upgrades we've performed already on the roads, and the ones that I'm proposing we continue with, there'll be no issue. The roads, that will be the standard. The 6.5 meter standard will complement this truck. No problem at all. Yeah. And it's a 4-wheel drive truck too. It's not just a regular single axle. Yeah. So if you get, they don't get in there, then tight spots pretty good. No wing, just a full size plow. So it should be able to do a good job.
And it has all the accessories, as you said, there too. All the
stuff. Well, I ordered one. A year or so ago, 2 years ago, I guess, and just threw it out there. So we ordered it anyways because back then there wasn't any trucks available. So Archipelago bought it. So if you wanted to look at it, you can go and take a look at it at Archipelago. They bought the exact same thing, except now I know what not to buy and get the upgrades on ours. Yeah. So if you want to look at it, they have the exact truck.
Sorry. Greg, where is that
there? Archipelago Township.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I've got pictures of it and stuff. But.
Well, I'm not sure if they'd be looking at a resolution here, so let's see if you want to deal with it. Resolution 22-514, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Beckinen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of Keller does hereby accept the tender bid from Freightliner North Bay for the supply of one medium-duty truck cab, chassis, hopper, spreader, reversible plow, and low-mount front harness in the amount of $251,741 plus HST of $32,726.33 for a total of $284,467.33. Discussion?
So, do we have money in the budget for this purchase at this point in time?
Oh, yes.
Is there?
Oh, yes.
Because there were quite a few transfers from reserves. So that's in the...
So after January 1st, Mike, there will be enough money in the budget.
After January 1st.
Well, after you pass the new budget next year?
Yeah. So that was my question. Yes. Are we passing this? It's going to be something that's paid for with the 2023 budget. So I think that is a little bit of an issue, that if we're approving a purchase that's not in the current year's budget, that that's...
I'm just going to leave that up in the
comment.
I think the process will take a couple of months. That's why Greg would like to start right now. And the next year budget, we definitely include that, will be part of the next year budget. So if he wants to get the truck by June, he has to start right now. Otherwise, the truck won't be available for next year.
Do we pay?
Do we have the money in the budget now? Yeah. If we bought it right now, is there enough money in the budget?
We have, as of now, $245 in our reserve, just our vehicle.
$245,000. $245,000. Yeah. So we're almost there, Mike.
Yeah, okay.
Councilor Rod?
we wouldn't pay till delivery of the truck, is that
correct?
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear. Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion?
Well, I did have one concern with the licensing required. The one convenient thing with the 550 is that anyone with a G-Class license can drive it, and whereas now we're restricted to someone with a D-Class license. It's good to have a bigger, heavier truck, absolutely. You know, that's going to take that kind of pounding, but you got to have someone to drive the truck. So I don't want to be in a situation where we're having difficulty hiring someone that's that has that licensing when there is a shortage of drivers.
I think there's probably not a shortage of drivers, there's a shortage of operators. That's where the issue is, regardless if it was just the 550 or a full-size plow truck. Because I don't want to just put anybody in the truck. I'm partly to blame for that, but just seeing what inexperienced drivers can do and making sure they've got a lot of stuff in there. So, I don't think it's a bad idea having a professional driver with a D license. I think that's a great idea for the township.
Okay, thanks.
Councilor Zulai? We need another microphone.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but isn't it a lot easier to get a D-licensed driver than it is to get, like, for an A or something? There's a lot more available D-licensed drivers. Because I remember in the past trying to get someone to work for the roads, and it was under A license, and it was a lot easier to get a D.
It will be.
Well, the question here isn't between A and D, it's between D and G.
I know.
So this D license requirement for this truck, don't forget, this truck is going to be an automatic. So that just puts our pool up a long ways compared to a standard vehicle.
Okay.
Well, that just opens our door up for a lot more drivers, and a lot of the plow trucks that Fowler has on the highway, to get one of those, to lure one of those drivers over, they are currently running mainly automatics as it is. So it should be a good transition to get a good worker.
Councilor Ryan?
Is it a practice of ours to, if you had an existing driver that wanted to upgrade their license to a D license, is it a practice that we would pay for that training?
No.
Never?
Never.
How much is involved? How much does it cost?
$10,000.
Okay.
$8,000 for a D, $10,000 for an A.
Okay.
But we have in the past, for people wishing to upgrade, I guess they're already employees.
I think that was fire department.
No,
was it?
Done it for roads as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, people wishing to upgrade to a certain level. Now, maybe you're going to tell me that you upgraded and you weren't paid. I don't know. But
so, I guess maybe if we had that situation, we're not currently in that situation right now. So, you could probably bend some rules, but I'm not sure.
But.
Yeah,
okay. But it's just recently that it's cost $10,000.
Yes.
Because before you could just go and write the test, and if you passed it, you passed it.
Yeah. So the D license, we could. I mean, this is a council decision to allow us to train the driver. It's cheaper for the township to get an experienced driver. That's my only issue. As far as that being an issue, why not just hire somebody with a D license? Yeah.
That's right.
I assume it would cost us more to hire a person with a D license than a G license? Like we would pay them more?
Yes.
A lot more?
Yeah. Well, more.
How much more?
Well,
I know it's just, I'm just
so
hypothetical.
I don't know what the rate is, so say a laborer is $21 an hour. And you can put them in a truck with a D license, probably $20 or $29 an hour. So,
okay.
Yeah.
do you think it's advisable to at least consider offering an existing employee, you know, the cost of the training?
Have we got one?
I'm just asking. So.
Well, yes, if that's a council decision.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issue with it. It's just, as far as I know, for the lot of years I've been with municipalities, we've never done that.
Okay. Would it allow us to keep or promote? Not really promote. They would get a raise, I guess, if they were moving from a G to a D.
I think you may be opening up a big can of worms with other municipalities.
Okay.
Because no other municipalities right now currently do
that. Okay, good. That's fine. That's what I need.
So all of a sudden we're going to have an influx of people coming from other municipalities. I'm just thinking that's what's going to happen. Okay. We're going to have this snowball effect, and we're probably not going to be any further ahead.
Okay.
Let's just go with a professional driver.
No, I'm appreciative of your advice. So
yeah. But if there was a qualified person that worked hard, why not give that person the opportunity to have this position? I have no problem with that. It's just a council decision to allow them to use that truck to go get the license.
Well, council is willing. We have one person in the audience wants to weigh in at this point.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
It was just a question of if council pays $10,000 for somebody to get the certification, they leave 6 months later, what does council earn?
Good question.
That was all.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that exact same subject up, that you want to make sure if somebody is going to stay, or are they just going to get a free ride and go to the job they really want.
Right. $8,000 or $10,000 they don't have to pay for themselves.
Yep.
Councilor Zuma.
So, this would be creating a new position? So then that should go out to the public.
Yeah.
Instead of within, it should go out to the public.
Yeah, well.
Any other discussion on this motion? All the question then, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Thank you, Gary. Have 18.3T-20225 2022 capital budget amendment. And resolution 22-515 moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Tekkinen. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report T-2022-5, 2022 Capital Budget Amendment. That's the same numbers, but. And further accepts the transfer of $428,435.01 from reserves to the following capital budget line items. Number one, $125,000 from Working Fund Reserve, $25,000 from Infrastructure Asset Management Reserve, and $185,000 from Roads Vehicle Reserve for a total of $335,000 for the installation of In-Holmes Bridge. And two, $81,357.12 from the Fire Department Vehicle Reserve to fund the purchase of one Ram 1500 QRC-150 pickup truck, Rescue 1, for the Fire Department. And number three, $12,077.89 from the Fire Department Vehicle Reserve fund the purchase and installation of one wheeled McLean Ultra 155CT-155 KBTU watt boiler with 3 inches vent for fire station number two. Discussion. Councilor Tekkinen.
With the first item on the list here, for the should it read for the purchase and installation of In-Holmes Bridge, or is it a total of $335,000 just for the installation of In-Holmes Bridge?
Okay. With the mic.
Purchase and installation of the In-Holmes Bridge.
Just purchase and
installation.
Just before installation, purchase and
Now that figure has gone up substantially from the original quote. About how much over? Is it about 100,000 over? Or?
Initially, we budgeted 200,000, then we revised it to be 335,000. And still, I'm not sure if that's the final amount. There's still discussion about the quote might go up, so I'm not sure yet.
So the people who put in this bid, then they've actually seen the site bill and realized what's required, and it'd be nice to put a cap on it when, after they've looked at it, that they know what it's going to cost them. So.
That's right.
So I don't like the open-ended approach. It's going to cost you more of that over here. Any idea of installation time as well? That's it.
They're talking about the maybe next year in the spring. The bridge is already completed. The delivery time and installation time around the spring, but we don't have exact date yet.
And in the interim, I guess we should have asked Greg when he was here. It's still safe to move over that bridge at this point with the bridge we had?
I think so, Isaac. Whatever I know from Greg.
We reduced the load limits on the bridge, I think, to 5 tons. That's what I remember, anyhow. But, and took some other remedial action. That was at the end of the previous council. So, and Greg did come and present that it was a lot more than originally quoted, and discussed it with council at that time. So,
okay.
I don't remember the exact reasons, but I do recall that that was discussed. So.
And there's been a letter sent out to the EMS to slow down? Or after looking at the report, apparently the speed was involved. I don't know who was at fault. I don't even know if the insurance was involved.
It depends whether you're the person in the ambulance or the person watching the ambulance. But I'm kidding. But.
So this is going through an insurance claim process as well?
I just want to add on that. I just got an email yesterday. They approved our claim up to the $50,000. And they sent the paperwork yesterday, so now we have to sign and submit it to get the $50,000 check.
Okay. Any other questions on these changes? Councilor Kirkman?
No, moving on to the second item on the list, the $81,357 for the purchase of the fire department vehicle. I'm still not sure how that purchase transpired, considering looking through a procurement bylaw that any purchase like this, if it exceeds $25,000, would be required to go through approval of council. So I just want to ensure that in the future, because council is accountable to the taxpayers, that it goes through the vetting process and the council have the opportunity to ask the questions that our citizens may want to have answered regarding a purchase such as this.
Oh, whether I can speak to that. Was this part of the lame duck period?
Yes, it was part of the lame duck period, and it was also, I was home with COVID. I got the phone call. They had a conference call with Roshan and Robert Morrison, the fire chief, and they explained the situation. Knowing that it was lame duck, yes, there should have been a report made to council regardless. I wasn't here to do that, but I did verify with them, did we have the funds for it? And they confirmed that we did have the funds for it. So I told them yes to go ahead. I know that the old rescue one is in really bad shape.
One more thing that you haven't mentioned is that it was Rob's belief that if we didn't act on the opportunity that we would lose it and we wouldn't be able to get a vehicle for another 6 months.
Yes.
And this was also the first four-wheel drive vehicle ever owned by the fire department. So that's a really big win for us.
Yes.
So
Yes.
And it's regrettable the way it happened, perhaps, mm-hmm. but under the circumstances, I think it was the best solution that could be to have.
And if they had have ordered a truck, they would have had to have replaced it in 2023 anyway, yeah. and if they had have ordered a truck, it would have been substantially more money.
Yeah. So.
Okay, any further discussion? Thanks for coming. All a question then, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. The accounts payable preliminary check run report for November 2022. Resolution 22-516, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby accept the accounts payable preliminary check run report for November 2022. Discussion.
I had a brief discussion with Roshan about some related matters relative to the Lincoln Stewardship and Environmental Committee, but and I don't recall, I remember asking you that there's $2,500 on here that we pay to Georgian Bay Biosphere for the, I think it's the ice cap one. I've lost it right now, Roshan, but I did see it just a second ago. How does that relate to how much that we would have paid the Biosphere in this fiscal year? I can't even find it.
So it's that's there. The 2457 50.
Right.
And that is on the number 17, and that's for the benefit monitoring.
Okay. So it's not connected to ICE app.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Just to let you know, we haven't paid any invoice for the ICE cap this year, so we budgeted 8,000. We haven't paid anything this year.
Okay, that was my recollection, but thank you, that clarifies it. So.
And I believe with ICE, I don't know whether that's been arranged yet, whether they're coming for a presentation.
We have to still make an arrangement. Hopefully they're going to be here in January.
Okay. I'm just wondering in some of these as well, and I think previous council mentioned this, but it's new to me. The number of miscellaneous that show up in the report, and it's hard to know that without the detail what exactly it was for. And for some of them, for instance, it's just a long list. Do we have to use miscellaneous, or can we put in more detail into the program?
The specific GL, with whatever GL we use, if that's a miscellaneous GL, then that's the only portion that comes in the report. Maybe going forward, I can put the information in front of the miscellaneous.
Okay. I just think it would be easier, then there wouldn't be as many questions, I think, that might arise.
Sure.
There was one that arose. I thought somebody else might bring it up. The one was, just an example of the detail for planning and development on the last page 4. Talks about planning consultant services, and it doesn't say for what particular file. And again, I think that would be useful to know without looking at the actual invoice. I don't know whether this, maybe we need to look at the actual invoice. But I'd like to just look at how much we're spending per file, and it'd be nice to cross-reference that. So, but I don't know if you can do it on this document.
No. Because it comes up the GL information and the whatever the GL we use, so we cannot, but I can, especially if you need anything, I can pull up that one and give you the information.
Okay.
Can I just interject? I think that possibly when the accounts payable are being processed, if more information is being put in as the invoice is being input, then that information would be relayed onto the document.
Okay.
So we'll just have to have, like with accounts payable, they can't just put planning fees. If it refers to a certain planning application, that has to be mentioned in it so that council can see where it's going to.
So
So does that mean that because it's not here, that information, the particulars or whatever you want to call it, the description, was not entered into the system? I'm curious.
No, it's probably been applied to the right
category.
The right application.
Yeah.
It's just that as it was being input into it, they've just put planning fees.
Okay.
We know that we're going to take that invoice and pass it on to whoever the applicant was. But by actually putting that in there at the time when they're doing the posting the invoice, that would
rather than
show
like the file
up.
Numbers.
It would show up on the report.
Okay, I understand. So they're actually keying in the words "planning fees" on those.
Right.
Okay, I understand now.
Yeah.
So is it onerous to change that so that we can get more specific?
No. Just needs to at the time that you're putting the invoice through, just to put a little more information there. So we know.
Okay.
It still may, even for miscellaneous, it still may show up in a miscellaneous thing, but you can certainly put more information in so that you know what it is.
And I assume the field space is fairly limited? Is that, do you know how many
It's
characters?
Somewhat limited, but you can still, I use this system at my previous place of employment as well, and you can get enough pertinent.
That would be very helpful for us reading it anyhow. I know undoubtedly Roshan would know those, but I don't. I read them, and some of them I'm mystified by. But right, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Let me see. One other question: the council had it on mileage. This is on page 2, attached at the end of our document. For $1,150, all it says is mileage. It doesn't say this is for fire department, I assume. What was going on that the person would charge that much for mileage?
That may have been when they were picking up the fire truck, the new truck.
Mine says page 2, but I know
I'm... Was page 2 at the end of the
15,
report, the second
so
last page? Yeah. I can show you the spot if you need to. Yeah.
It'd be the fire department for the Bruce.
It's under Bruce Burgoyne.
Yes,
that's
where it was. Mr. Burgoyne drove the fire chief.
This is for the course training. He went to the... he went for the training and courses. If you look at the bottom, there's a course of training, and that's what the mileage he needs.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was in Rob's last report.
Yes.
About Bruce Station, huh?
Yes.
The course was, but I didn't see the mileage, and that's what I wondered. How many times did he have to go, and where was it held? That's pretty high for mileage.
Yeah, I can pull up that information. I don't have it in front of me.
You know, if he was traveling back and forth, it would have been cheaper to book a room.
So I'm wondering. I mean, that's more than our bylaw enforcement gets, and I would think 5 paychecks. So, and he does travel around.
He does.
Councilor Rock.
On the previous page, I think my question's for Aynon, but there's a charge here for a Vianet for $170.90. I recall that when we had a discussion about the tower that Cogeco uses, that they were supposed to be providing us with free internet in township offices. So my question is, are we any closer to asking Cogeco to deliver on that and then cancel this expense?
We're getting closer. We are supposed to have 2023, we are supposed to have high speed.
Okay.
We're supposed to have.
But all along, according to what that contract renewal for the last 10 years, Cogeco was supposed to be providing it.
Right.
And obviously
and
do no, not.
They did not.
So, I mean, and now we're paying another provider for the same expense. It's a fairly minor expense, but it's just the point is, I mean, at the very least, why couldn't we switch even now to whatever Cogeco offers in the area? And I believe that that's readily available in the village. I don't know that for a fact, but my opinion would be we should ask Cogeco to deliver on their commitment that's in the contract, give us free internet, and then once that's in place, then we cancel Vianet.
Okay.
But,
I can follow up on that.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah. Sounds good. I'm hoping, is your mic on? I'm just wondering if people on Zoom that...
apparently keeps turning off. It was on, I promise.
Okay. Well, any other discussion on that? The check runner report? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. No mayor's report at this point. Correspondence for consideration. 20.1, resignation of library board member. Resolution 22-517, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the resignation of Adriana Kufis from the McKellar Township Public Library Board and thank her for her time and dedication to the board. And apologies if I mispronounced that name. Discussion? All to the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
This one, turns itself on. This button keeps turning itself off.
Okay. 20.2, municipal resolution to appoint Joel Constable to the EMS committee. Resolution 22-518, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received resolution number 2022-119 from the municipality of McDougall, and that the Township of McKellar has also circulated the appointment of Councillor Mick Ryland to the Parry Sound District Emergency Medical Service Advisory Committee. And further, the Council of the Township of McKellar looks forward to hearing from the Township of Carling and the municipality of Whitestone in support of Councillor Ryland's appointment to the committee. Interesting how this works back and forth and lobbying and who gets there. We try to do it the proper way and wait for their comments, but there may be emails, phone calls. I don't know what's happening. Any further discussion? All the question? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The Google resolution to appoint Joel Constable to the DSAB board. Resolution 22-519, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. I'll get some resolutions over in this side. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive resolution number 2022-116 from the municipality of McDougall, and that the Township of McKellar has also circulated the appointment of Councilor Morley Haskin to the Parry Sound District Social Services Administration Board, where two members are to be appointed. And further, the Council of the Township of McKellar looks forward to hearing from the Schedule 4 Area 3 municipalities, in other words, the Township of Carling and the Municipality of Whitestone, in support of Councillor Haskin's appointment to the committee. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen?
Looking back historically, I don't believe we've had anyone on the EMS committee from the information that I have. I could be incorrect. And the last time that the McKellar Township had a representative on the at the DSAB table was between 1999 and the 2002 term of council. If we can add that into the resolution to advise them that it's about time. And let me see here. Does it say DSAB? Yeah, so Whitestone and McDougall have been on it. 2010 to 2014, McDougall and Carling, 2014-2018, and I believe this is incorrect. I don't believe McKellar was on there 2018 to 2022, so we haven't been on there since 1999 to 2002. We can add that into the resolution.
I remember, well, I sat on the board, but I'm wondering if that's a follow-up. When they don't support us, I'm wondering if we that heavy-handed right now, that hoping that they'll realize that we haven't been on there, the other townships.
The current concern is that they don't wait till another opportunity that they support the one that they put forward, and we don't have another opportunity.
I'll put it to council if you want to put it in this resolution, or just wait. One person wants it in.
Can I just ask you to read the resolution again? I've kind of lost. Yeah, yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. I take your point that we're unlikely to be successful if we make ourselves a nuisance, but by the same token, I buy into Mike's argument that we're generally underrepresented on committees like this, mm-hmm. right?
I don't believe we're going to have another opportunity. Yeah. Proposing, was it Joel Constable that they're putting mm-hmm. forward? He served on it last term of council, last two terms of council, so if we don't do this, yeah. take this opportunity now, we're not going to have another opportunity.
I agree with Mike, then. Yeah, I support that. So.
Okay.
We need a speed writer here that can write it down as fast as we say it. So. It is kind of arrogant to state it the way that they do, and they do it by saying that they're approving it, right?
Kind of.
Well, I'm trying to be somewhat nice.
Okay, so it's resolution 22-519 with the amendment, and further that the board recognize that the Township of McKellar has not been a representative of the board since 1999 to 2002 term of council. So we'll call for a vote on that amendment. All those in favor? And opposed? And I'll call for a vote on the consolidated resolution with that amendment attached. All the questions? All those in favor? And opposed? Carried.
Now, in that motion, it says that where two members are to be appointed, so it's possible.
Still hope.
Yeah, that it could be Joel and myself.
Yeah,
possibly.
The 20.4 Aquatic Environmental Report of Manicouagan Lake, Georgia Bay, Mindu Gami Biosphere. Resolution 22-520, moved by Councillor Keckner, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Aquatic Environmental Report of Manitowoc Lake from the Georgian Bay Nindugami Biosphere. Discussion? Councilor Peckman?
It's an excellent report. It's really a good document to use as a reference material. Is there anyone that is from Biosphere that's going to answer any questions or...
Well, when we organize, I think ICECAP will be coming in. It might be an overlap with people from the Biosphere there. I think there will be. I think Greg Mason mm-hmm. was coming, so I imagine he can speak to it as well.
So we'll just defer to ask any questions until that time?
Right.
Okay.
Further discussion? All the questions, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And Township of the Archipelago, resolution to create Ontario Provincial Police OPP detachment boards. And resolution 22-521, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive Township of the Archipelago Resolution Number 22-155. And whereas Ontario passed the Comprehensive Ontario Police Services Act 2019, Bill 68, and established the Community Safety and Policing Act 2019, the CSPA, which once enforced will repeal the Police Services Act 1990, PSA. Whereas Section 67 of the CSPA required there be an Ontario Provincial Police OPP detachment board for each detachment of the OPP that provides policing in a municipality or First Nation community. And whereas the Ministry of the Solicitor General, the Ministry, has developed a framework which allows affected municipalities and First Nations the flexibility to establish an OPP detachment board that reflects community and local needs. And whereas the Ministry has asked that municipalities and First Nations within an OPP detachment area to work together to determine the composition of their OPP detachment board and the manner in which they will submit their proposal to the Ministry. And whereas members of the existing Westbury Sound District Community Policing Advisory Committee have indicated interest in establishing an OPP detachment board which will represent the Westbury Sound municipalities and First Nations, now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Township of McKellar hereby supports the OPP Detachment Board proposal that was submitted to the Province of Ontario by the Municipality of McDougall, CPAC representative, which represents all seven of the West Prairie Sound area municipalities in Hendley, First Nation. And further be it resolved that this resolution be forwarded to all the West Prairie Sound municipalities in Hendley, First Nation. Discussion? Councillor Zuan.
Yeah, do we have a copy of the OPP detachment board proposal that was submitted to the province?
I haven't seen one.
Yes, that was June 8th, 2021. We passed a similar resolution. Okay. I'm actually surprised that this one is on the agenda because I thought through the correspondence that the one passed June 8th, 2021 was sufficient to be forwarded to these Minister of the Solicitor General.
Okay.
So, but in that proposal and the resolution that we signed June 8th, 2021, all that information was included at that time.
Okay. Now, is
this... Can I get a copy, Ina?
Yes, you can.
Is this a local initiative or is this a provincial
driven? This is province-wide since it is changing the...
The CSPA? No.
Yeah, the Ontario Police Services Act. Oh,
okay. And it also mentions the Community Safety and Policing.
So when the Police Services Act 1990 is repealed, then this is part of the new structure. West Prairie Sound is not going to change that much. We've had a pretty good structure with interaction between the OPP and the municipalities. There are other areas in the province where there isn't a good structure and they wanted to have something a little more consistent province-wide, and that's why they're moving to a board structure province-wide.
Will this have any effect on our expenditure, what we pay to the OPP?
It might have an impact because there are some expenses currently that the OPP are paying for. They're providing the location where the meetings are taking place. They're providing a secretary who takes the minutes. So there's in the June 8th, 2021 resolution, it had those questions in it, and it was asking that the following be included as an administrative resource infrastructure required to support the establishment of the detachment board, requesting that the province pay for these expenses, but they might come to might be absorbed by the municipalities. Administrative support for taking minutes of meetings, prepare, distribute, and publish agendas and meeting notices, prepare draft policy documents, administer expenses, prepare annual reports and cost estimates,
and maintain board records, secure to provide a secure place for records, meeting location, electronic requirements, establish funding requirements, personal accident insurance, legal advice, honorariums, ongoing training, travel and meals, advertising, and any other administrative resources, infrastructure common to the board. So in the 2021 June 8th resolution, those were the things that had sent me forward to the province to take into consideration.
So it sounds as if it's going to be another board locally, but sort of run by the province. Like, there has to be a lead municipality, I realize that.
Yes.
We do that with EMS right now, too. It's run through Prairie Sound. They have the service contract. And I'm wondering if, you know, and you won't know at this point expenses either, but somebody will take that on and then bill us, I suppose, for any costs that they encounter as a lead municipality.
I don't know if it's going to be absorbed in included in our OPP levy, annual levy. But yes, the one difference will be that there'll be a provincial representative on that board.
Any further questions, discussion? I'll call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Six, Township of Eric deployed a resolution to reconsider proposed changes within Bill 23, More Homes Built Faster Act 2022. Now, Resolution 22-522, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Haskell. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Township of the Archipelago Resolution number 22-177. And whereas the Council for the Township of McKellar recognizes the need for additional affordable and attainable housing locally, provincially, and nationally, and supports provincial measures to increase the supply of housing to meet this growing need, and whereas a strategic priority for the Township of McKellar is to protect and preserve the natural environment, inland lakes, and watershed areas through a responsible land use planning, and whereas the proposed changes to the Planning Act limits the Township's ability to preserve and protect the environment by eliminating the ability to use site plan control within environmentally sensitive waterfront areas throughout the township, and whereas the natural environment is an economic driver of the Township of McKellar and the Prairie Sound District, and the proposed changes, if implemented, would cause significant damage to the local economy, and whereas the proposed changes to limit the requirement for public engagement and remove the ability for third-party appeals eliminates the capacity for the community to be involved in open and transparent planning processes, now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Township of McKellar does hereby request for the province to reconsider the proposed changes within Bill 23 that destroy the existing regulations and tools that help to protect and preserve the natural environment within the sensitive rural waterfront areas, including the elimination of the use of site plan control for residential development with less than 10 units, and the removal of species at risk and wetland complexing criteria from the Interior Wetland Evaluation System. And further be it resolved, the Council for the Township of McKellar respectfully requests the province to reconsider these proposed changes to the Planning Act and Ontario Land Tribunal, which remove the opportunity for public input and limit public involvement in planning processes. Be it finally resolved that the Council for the Corporation of the Township of McKellar directs staff to submit this resolution to the Honourable Minister Steve Clark, Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, the Honourable David Piccini, Minister of Environment, Conservation and Parks, the Honourable Graydon Smith, Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry, the Honourable Doug Ford, Premier of Ontario, the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. Discussion? I don't know who is responsible for rewording the archipelago one to this one that we have now, but I think that's excellent. Because before it was quite relevant to archipelago throughout, this has been color in it, so I really appreciate that. But I'll see if council agrees with these. And they'll ask me to repeat it.
A lot of words.
Councillor Zulak?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that because I think Bill 23 is too broad. It covers too many things, and we did have problems with the site plan agreements and the appeals and different things like that. So I think that it's way too broad, and it needs to be narrowed down somewhat, some of those things taken in.
Councillor Hudson?
Yeah, I agree there with Councillor Zulak, and I was kind of wondering whether the northern municipalities should have been petitioning to make Bill 23 only applicable to southern Ontario. That's where I think they need the housing worse than we do here. We need it here also, but it would have continued with the development they want to do to continue to enlarge the GTA area. So I'm surprised the Northern Municipality Association didn't get all over this.
Well, I believe they're still petitioning for people who wish to join ROMA, the Rural Ontario Municipal Association dealing with the North, so I'm going to put your name forward. No, that makes all kinds of sense. And I don't know why they had to include two things in one. I realize they're trying to rush the affordable housing and increase the housing units, but at the expense of the environment or other issues, and that's a concern that it's all rolled into one, as Councillor Zulak said. Whether this has any impact or not, I suppose it can't hurt to let them know. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. I'll call a question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Township of Carling committee appointments. Resolution 22-523, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskam. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Township of Carling's committee and board appointments, and that the Township of McKellar has also circulated the appointments to the Belvoir Heights Home for the Aged Board of Management, the Parry Sound District Emergency Medical Service Advisory Committee, and the Parry Sound District Social Services Administration Board. And further, the Council of the Township of McKellar looks forward to hearing from the area municipalities in support of Township of McKellar members of Council's appointment to the above-named committees. Discussion? Now, with Carling, they have a separate representative to the Belvoir Heights, so we just sent ours, I think, to Whitestone and McMurdo-Ponty. But the others, Carling is involved with the EMS and the DSAC. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And the MLCA letter regarding ad hoc committee for short-term rentals. And resolution 22-524, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskam. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar does hereby receive the letter dated November 21st, 2022, from Steve McDonnell, President of the MLCA, in regards to Council's decision to dissolve the ad hoc committee for short-term rentals. Discussion? I think we made it clear within the resolution itself that Council is going to proceed at this point with certainly looking at the official plan through our planner and the zoning bylaw. And also check with, we've already sent our request to Municipality of Whitestone to see what they're doing, and also reaching out to their bylaw enforcement officer to see what results they've had with what they have in place. They're altering their official plan, not saying on a yearly basis, but as they're getting some legal advice. And I think we're in the situation now that if we're contemplating any changes at all, it will have to go through the legal means, through our solicitor and through the planner. And that's not to say that we don't appreciate, as we said before, the committee's information that it provided. As Councillor Haskam said, there's certainly some good information for us proceeding forward. Often I've found that when you get to this level now and you want to contact other municipalities, they don't even talk to the councillors or the mayor. They talk to the personnel, the staff. So it's CAO talking to clerk administrator, or CAO's planner talking to planner. And it's very difficult to reach out and get information from those municipalities. So I'm thinking at this stage it's in our hands, and we'll have to get back as quickly as possible as we work through the winter months. Discussion. Councillor Ryan?
Can I ask, do we have whatever accumulated work papers or files that the committee members have, are they accessible to council? In other words, have we lost access to that if they're maintained by an individual on their home computer?
We have access to anything that the committee has submitted to us. If there's any additional documents that went back and forth between the committee, I would have no knowledge of that, but anything that was part of the agenda packages that they have or their minutes, yeah, we've got all of that.
Okay, but, I mean, it seems unlikely to me that people that had things in their own private, and I mean, I don't mean secret, but mm-hmm. those private papers may not find their way into our hands, and therefore a lot of the research that the committee did may be lost to us.
That is possible.
Do we have any intention to ask the committee members if they would give us copies? Provide copies, whatever you want me to say that way? Because I think from the committee meetings that I've attended, they certainly have a lot of information, and obviously in their presentation covered a minimal part of it, but describing it. But whatever work was done, I'd like to make sure that we don't lose the value of that research that has been done. So I don't know. I think there is a strong amount of resentment. I mean, I'm certain that you're aware of how many nasty things have been posted on Facebook in particular. And I've only been back for, I don't know, 4 days. I've received many phone calls from people, which, you know, caused me a lot of concern anyhow. And I think just to reflect what I understand the public opinion of the people that I have talked to is that there's a great deal of resentment that this was done unilaterally and without consultation with the committee and or with others. I'm just saying.
And then the question is, how do you perceive the council moving forward at this point? Is it the committee's role, or as I suggested, if we're getting into talking municipality to municipality, lawyers and planners and rewording our official plan and zoning bylaw, to me, at that stage, it's out of committee's hands.
I agree with that portion. I agree with that assessment of those issues, but I still think, again, the research that has gone on and that we were not aware of, because they didn't come with us with every single thing that they were dealing with. I know they had a number of subcommittees. I'm not sure if council is willing to, but I know Axie Leal, who presented for the Environmental Committee, was also a member of the STR, or at least was a consultant to the STR. I know he can speak about this much better than I. I just would like to make sure that we don't lose the benefit of the work that had been done by the committee. That's all.
And, no, I appreciate that, and I think if they're interested in this, certainly they'll come forward with that information. I think that would be excellent.
Can I ask Axie to come up to the mic and just tell us his thoughts?
I'll ask council if they want to open this up for discussion. We can take people from the audience.
Can I just make one comment?
Yeah.
Okay. In the short-term rental committee, their minutes for October the 2nd, the committee actually says the committee will be giving an interim report to council on October 11th, 2022. And the committee will be meeting again on October 18th, 2022. A final presentation will be given to council with recommendations. Council will determine if they will move forward with recommendation and will determine if the committee will continue to meet in the future. Mm-hmm. And that's their own minutes.
Okay, council willing to have members of the audience speak at this point?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoever wants to come up.
Yeah. Sorry, actually, I didn't know.
Microphone would be good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I've got Doug Hunt with me. He's a co-chair. Right. And I thought Doug was going to make a couple of points.
Sorry, Doug.
All right. Well, sure. Let's finish with that. You asked for Axie's information first, so you want to go there first? Or?
I'm happy with either of you or both of you. Personally, I'm just speaking as one person here, but yeah.
Douglas Hunt, ex-co-chair of the STR ad hoc committee for the of McKellar. I too have received some input from the public and concern that the way that it was handled for the dismantling of our committee.
My memory's not perfect, and if I recall correctly, some of our meetings, a lot of our meetings, there were some of the council meetings that are present here today who were at some of those meetings. So if something I'm talking about is not an accurate statement, please correct me or point me in the right direction. But I'm going from memory here, a lot of the stuff, because I don't have access to the minutes. So, let me just check my notes here. The ad hoc committee discussed the content of our intern presentation, and the committee made several recommendations and removal of changes. And I'm talking about the presentation that was presented on the 15th of November, I think it was. And it was meant to inform the council of the progress to date and make some broad recommendations. The ad hoc committee co-chairs at the meeting verbally expressed that this was an interim report and it was supposed to be interpreted as a final report. And I'm not sure where what meeting this came out of from Councillor Zulak. I don't remember. What date is that?
October 2nd.
October the 2nd.
Council Chambers Community Center.
Okay. So those are minutes that were taken, and we don't know if that what's being said there is a proposal or an actual... I don't remember the ad hoc committee agreeing to that statement that you just read. It may have been said in the meeting. That doesn't make it true what the intent of the committee as a whole wanted presented. I for one was a little shocked that the committee co-chairs weren't contacted prior to the agenda being set with the words. I'm going to know that today. I read on the 22472. We were thanked for our work. And yet, in the second paragraph, it says, whereas the committee, including the resource persons, has fulfilled much of its mandate, the council, in turn, has fulfilled much of its mandate outlined in its terms of reference. So, we knew that, and that's why we were trying to reassure our members on that particular meeting that this wasn't a final presentation, and that wasn't an interim presentation. And I'm sure that the members that were sitting in the body of our meeting that day might recall that. Why was it that the council didn't choose to contact us about the future of the SCRT meeting and get some sort of written, give us some time to get some sort of written preparation to you as to why we thought we were still valuable, why we could still do some research and confirm some of the facts that we had discovered that hadn't been quite brought forward yet because they weren't confirmed. So, can we start with that and answer why we weren't invited to participate prior to us being disbanded?
Well, if I could speak to it, we have your resolutions there, even though you don't remember them. And I attended a number of those meetings, mm-hmm. and we were getting to the stage where it was falling apart, to be honest. I wasn't totally impressed with how the meetings continued. And all the back and forth, and I know there were some problems with the technical issues as well. But we got to the stage two, and after your comments from your meetings, and it is an ad hoc committee, and at this stage, as I said before, I think council now has to step in. Why let the committee continue for another year, and what else is going to be discovered that the council can actually implement? We can use the resources that you used. I watched a meeting with another council over in Halliburton
The planners actually presented on the STR committee a study that they did in detail, and the council is no further ahead over there right now. They still have to go back to their own policies and through the planner make the changes. So, and I saw how the committee in the past was so upset that it sat for a year in hiatus, nothing was happening. And my concern right now was that if council's going to work on this and the committee is just going to sit there, how will you feel as committee members?
Believe that the sitting for a year in hiatus was the fault of the committee?
No, I did not say that.
Well,
I just wondered how you felt, because when you came back into committee, there was quite a concern that you didn't meet for a year.
Correct.
We don't want that to continue, that you're going to sit for a year and not do anything.
Mm-hmm. And, well, in any event, I know council has a lot on its plate, and there's a lot more difficult situations that you need to deal with and spend your time on, as presented this evening with some of these planning things. I was hoping that we would discover why we were not requested to participate and with some sort of information as to why we felt we still had things to offer. And we're just politely thanked and let go. But that's the way you choose to handle it. And public will have to make do with your decision.
Well, as Councillor
Ryan said, I could ask for you to repeal that decision and put us back into back to work.
Well,
but,
at this stage, I made quite clear it, but it's now in council's hands. And as I say, I think the council...
Well, it's only in council's hands because you choose not to repeal it and put us back to work. There is that option. Right?
If you want a resolution, how soon do you want it, first of all? And as I say, we have to go to the legal aspect of it now. We have to talk to the planner. If we're looking at, and it may be the end result that the committee members want, I don't know, it seemed to be a mixture of emotion there, whether you want them or not. If we're talking licensing, we have to talk to other municipalities. We have to look at their bylaws, something that the committee doesn't have access to.
We had plans at one point to have guest speakers come in. We had plans to and that presentation, as you know, was, in my opinion, fairly well-bounded. It covered most of the options available. It didn't specify anyone in particular. I think we did a very fine job. I think Vanessa and the team did a great job of making sure that it was non-partial, non-partisan to any one particular form of action. But anyways, from my point of view, I still think the committee had some value. And at this point in time, I just felt I need to come forward and speak to council, make sure that you understood that there are some people in the public, and thank you for Councillor Ryan for supporting some of the people who spoke with me, and I echo that sentiment. Thank you for the time.
Well, hopefully moving forward, as Councillor Ryan said, we can get more of your information, and we can call on you for more as we proceed. Is it not as if you're cut off? You're just not meeting as a committee, that's all. You can certainly meet with
cut
the
off.
Same people.
We were told thank you very much and said farewell to you.
Right.
So, I don't know how you're going to get that information.
Well, I don't know that the question came up.
You don't have a committee anymore.
If you are concerned about STRs in the community, as you say you are, then why wouldn't you submit that freely? The information that you have. Why would you hold it back?
Because I don't have it.
Okay, not you particularly, but I'm saying the committee, because Councillor Ryan.
I can't speak for other people.
Okay.
I guess you'll have to come up with a form of plan how to get it.
And I'm not necessarily implying that people would withhold it simply to be vindictive. I'm simply saying that we don't have it right now.
And
things that are on your own computer, my own computer, I'm not talking, I don't have anything for SDRs, but. You know, if we lose access to a bunch of research was done, even if we don't agree with what the proposal was, it's useful to understand that and look at that as an alternative.
I agree.
And I'm a citizen of Douglas Hunt now, of the township of McKellar. I can't run around and start telling people, oh, you have to give your structure to the council. That's not my job. I'm no longer required to do that. I can give you the list of name of people who were on the committee as an ex-co-chair. That's something I can agree to give to you, no problem. But as far as getting the information that's in the hands of the ex committee members, I think the council will have to approach them directly and ask them for that information. I'm not saying that you can't have it.
No, if we get to that stage, yes. Thank you. Yeah. Councilor Brazula, you have a point.
Yeah. My excuse?
So, if this is the short-term rental committee was an ad hoc committee, shouldn't all of the minutes, all of the notes, and everything been handed into the township?
I don't think that's
not my point.
His point.
No, I know that's not his point. I'm asking a question.
Oh, I think you haven't yet. What you just asked.
Everything, all of the notes and stuff and the research that's been done.
We may have the minutes. I sincerely doubt that we have all of, maybe even most of, the work papers and the information that was gathered. And that's just from attending meetings and observing, you know, what committee members were talking about. My presumption is that the vast majority of those things aren't in the minutes, because that's not all the discussions that we have here appear in our minutes either. I'm just saying I don't want to lose access to information and work that's already been completed.
Okay, so if all of these people that were on the committee are concerned about the short-term rentals, then they should come forward, hand in whatever information that they have, hand it over to the council so that they can look into it and read all that information. This has been going on, this isn't a new thing, as we go back to the MLCA letter. Back in 2016, the membership expressed a significant concern over the status and result and impact of rentals in the McKellar. We have been going at this since 2016, in 2017, 2018, 2019, and the previous council to the last term was carrying that forward, trying to get something done. For some unknown reason, it was stopped. This could have all been resolved one way or another back then if it had continued. And then instead, we spent all kinds of money trying to get to a certain stage, and then it's dropped. Why? People, you know what I mean? McKellar was proactive. McKellar was trying to get onto the short-term rentals way before it was all over the place, and then it was stopped. So, and as far as the committee, I can't see the committee, if there's going to go with a licensing system, or if they're going to amend the official plan and the zoning bylaw, the committee can't do that. It has to be done by council. So if you want this thing to get moving forward, then let council take over now and handle it. Your information was great. It helps council. Let us move it forward if we can possibly do it. I mean, like I say, we've been trying to do it since 2016.
I was co-chaired, and I was not actively involved in each and every subcommittee. I don't have notes of their research or their fact-finding missions, or the subcommittees had those.
Well,
so that's why I'm trying. That's why if you want that information, I'll gladly give you the list of people that were on the committee, and you can contact them and as a town council, ask them for their notes.
Okay.
Directly. I don't think you should put that upon me.
I'm not putting it on you.
No, I'm just telling you.
Excellent.
Take the mic.
Sorry.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think we did get a clear answer tonight. This really does have to do with appearance, and I can tell you that pretty much to a person, everybody on the committee was caught off guard. I understand that it was on the agenda, but I believe our terms of reference have the committee continue until a date like June 23rd or something like that. So I have not seen that date, you know, on a document in, you know, for myself, but that was the date that was talked about in a couple of the meetings. And then, you know, of course, we're surprised with the motion, and there was nothing in the way of introduction that gave the background as to why the motion was brought forward. There was some discussion, you know, Councillor Haskin had admitted that he was caught off guard or surprised by the motion to dismiss the committee, which, you know, is reflective of what the committee felt.
I heard your comments. I guess I can understand that. There is a small group, representing the committee that is putting forward a deputation, and I hope you guys will consider giving the deputation some consideration for the later meeting in December.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Yeah. We've allowed this deputation without even being on the agenda.
Sure, yes.
So,
yeah.
We'll do that, yes.
Thank you.
We'll call the question then. Remember the resolution?
Yeah.
All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. The Township of Sequin resolution to support nomination of Jamie McGarvey to the